Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started here this morning in a couple passages in the New Testament here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. John is, encouraging the church in that time. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." The Message puts it this way: "My dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers on the loose in the world." 1 Thessalonians 5 puts it this way: "Test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. Good. To that hold fast. So here we can see a few exhortations that the church has given that, not everything that comes along or comes down the pike that has a form of spirituality to it or even Christianity to it is not necessarily God, but he says, test the spirits. Don't believe every spirit, test the spirits. The message again, don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Now, this is an exercise. This takes a little effort to do. You can just take something at face value and run off with it because there's a certain bit of logic and wisdom and sensibility about it, and it can send you off in a trajectory that's wrong. But to weigh it, to examine something, it requires a discipline to do that. But we also have another promise as it relates to this, and it's something that Jesus told us. He said, when he brings, this is Jesus speaking about the good shepherd, he said, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, this is something that is amazing, because you would think that you would have to just know everything and be a super spiritual genius, to always get it right. You don't have to. You can know the voice of the Lord. You can know the voice of the Lord and stay on track. I've watched this. I've observed this. People who've known less of the Bible stay on track spiritually because they've kept certain things as a focus, certain things as a center. In fact, you can know a lot of stuff and your knowledge can get you in trouble sometimes. Knowledge can play on your ego sometimes and get you off. But Jesus, he didn't even say, they know my theology. They said, they know my voice. Sometimes you're going to know something is wrong and you're not even going to know why it's wrong. You may not even have the knowledge of Scripture to bring it out and say that it's wrong. You know why it's wrong. You just know that it's wrong on the inside. Jesus gives us an amazing promise here about him being our shepherd and we being his sheep, that we would know his voice. So as we're listening critically in this sense, that doesn't mean that we're critical or we have a chip on our shoulder or we got a problem. It's just that we're listening with a filter in our ears, that we're not just believing everything we hear. Because you can, in the same way, you can eat food that's bad or food that's stale or poison, just something that, and it can just cause a bad reaction. The same thing can happen spiritually too. When we allow certain things or lies or deceptions, it can get us in a wrong trajectory in our heart and our mind too. So we're careful. In the same way we would read a label over what we eat, we're going to look at labels in a sense this morning over what we hear and what we listen to. And so this morning, as we're discerning that voice of God, the promise is my sheep will know my voice. And many times as we're listening to know his voice, we find ourselves at this inflection point. Is that you, God? Okay? We're going to be answering the question, is that you, God? We've all got questions. We've all got things that come to our mind. We've got decisions we've got to make, and we've got things that are influencing us. And many times as we're listening to the thoughts in our own head or things that we're hearing and seeing, we're asking ourselves that question, is that you, God? Are you in this? Are you wanting to speak something here to me? Again, if there's opportunities that we might have, decisions that we've got to make, or again, just kind of testing the thoughts that we're hearing in our own mind and maybe situations that maybe people, you know, a lot in our culture, the big thing are influencers. There's influencers everywhere. Is that you, God? Is that you, God, as you're listening to the influencer? Are you in that, God? You know, it's a big business. Influencing is a big business. And so you got to make sure that as you're listening even to your influencers, that you can ask yourself that question. Is that you, God? Are you in that? And so this is something we all do. But again, we've got a promise that we would know his voice. And so I just want to offer this morning a couple guidelines, two guidelines this morning, as it relates to helping you answer this question. Is that you, God? Something to be listening for in terms of voice, okay? The first thing to listen for in answering that question is this: peace or pressure? All right, we're talking voice this morning. As you're listening for the voice of God in a situation that you've got to answer, peace or pressure? James says this: who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. That wisdom does not descend from above. It is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envying and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Now, you look at the surface and you would think, well, yeah, bitter envy, self-seeking, of course that's not from above. This is very deceptive, though, because when it comes to self-seeking and bitter, sometimes these are the things that can surround our heart, our broken heart, and things that we can begin to experience that will, you know, cause us to think we're getting a certain line of reasoning and that it's from God. And the next thing he says is, this wisdom does not descend from above. Do we have an example of this in the ministry of Jesus? Yeah, we do. His own disciples had their hearts broken by some Samaritans who made fun of them and who rejected them when they wanted a place for Jesus to stay. And they were so mad, and they were so hurt, and they were so offended that they asked Jesus, should we call down fire on them and consume them like Elijah? Their wisdom's from above, right? And Jesus looked at them and he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. The Son of Man hasn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now, these are some situations where we've got to ask ourselves, listen for the voice of something. Is that voice pressure? Is it hurtful? Is it painful? Is it something that is causing, or is it peace? Because here's the wisdom that's what the scripture calls demonic wisdom, but the wisdom that is from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy and good fruits. No partiality, no hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Man, that is a beautiful thing. Peace or pressure. Listening for the voice of something. Demonic wisdom is full of partiality and hypocrisy. The narratives that will play in our head have selective moral outrage over the things that have been done to us versus the things that we've done. We can skip over the stuff that we've done. Oh, just it's not a big deal. Buck up. It's not a big deal. Get over it. But the stuff that's been done to us, oh, that plays. That can be, what are we listening to? We're listening for voices. We're listening to the voice of the Spirit. Is that you, God? I've had the Lord tell me that one time just to kind of help sober me in my own self-pity sometimes. Because when you're in that self-pity, you think it's from above and feel sorry and you're mad. And I've just had the Lord say, Ed, when you're in that place, say this out loud. Out loud, say this. Say, God, is that you? When you get those bitter, hateful thoughts, you just say that out loud. And all of a sudden, it's like, nope, that's not him. That's not his spirit. There's no witness to that. There's a logical reasoning witness in my head to it, but there is no witness of the Spirit. It's not him. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Lean not to your own understanding. When we're being led by the Spirit of God, man, we've got the witness of the Spirit, and we're led by peace. That's what I just love. Peace takes the pressure off. In other words, if I'm up here in my head and I've got all that stuff going on, I don't have to know in my head why it's wrong, or I just need to know that it's wrong. I love to share this little testimony of myself where I was in one of these funks in my head, and I was running on the treadmill, and I'm having this fight with, you know, how you can have an argument with somebody who's not there, just in your own head. And I'm having one of those arguments in my head, and I'm about five levels deep, and I'm just like, just ready to go for the, you know, the final, for the kill. I'm just like my, duh. And then all of a sudden, I just hear the Spirit of God just speak it into my heart and say, Ed, just praise me. Just praise you. And my instinctive thought was, Lord, when I'm done with this, then I'll praise you. Because that's the fallacy. We think that we're going to be done with it. You really are never done with it. You'll argue that thing for 20, 30, 40 years. It's a cycle. And what the Lord told me is, he said, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. The Lord can always be your reason to change the channel from that impassioned whatever to say, you're worthy of praise and glory. No matter who, I like the Lord put it this to me once. He said, no matter who did what to you, it can't undo what I did for you 2,000 years ago. And that's what you're changing the channel to. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of glory and honor. That is the first and foremost thing. To thine be the kingdom and the glory and the honor forever and ever. And there's that decision. Ah, that's where the peace is. Praise God. I mean, I love that that's his voice. Now, you would think on the surface that, okay, well, you're in denial over things. In a certain sense, yes, I am passionately in denial. In fact, Jesus told us that there are going to be times we have to deny self. Self-seeking, deny self, self-pity. There's a denial of self that's absolutely right that needs to happen. It's not just a denying self for the sake of, but it's following after the wisdom of God and the peace of God. Anytime you put the flesh to death, you are going to have a cry on your hands. By the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. When you walk in the Spirit, I choose to praise the Lord. Yes, my flesh is going to cry out. But I'll tell you what, there is a satisfaction, there is a peace and a joy and a presence of God that inhabits those praises that makes me free from the law of sin and death. And when that happens, you know, there was a commercial that came out, a Snickers commercial, where you got these guys playing on the football field, and all of a sudden you see Betty White in the middle of all these guys. I think she's like the quarterback, and all of a sudden she gets just tackled and creamed. It's like, what in the world? And one of the buddies looks at Betty White and says, dude, you need a Snickers. And Betty White eats a Snickers and then turns back into the strapping young guy again. And the commercial is, you're not you when you're hungry. You know? And so it's like, you got the strapping guy, but he's just playing really weak. And you're not you when you're in the flesh. Have you noticed that? Sometimes you can think, you get in the Spirit, and it's like, man, how could I not see through that? Yeah, but you get in the Spirit, and it's different. But you've got to recognize the voice. Because if you don't recognize the voice, you'll just stay in the flesh on cycle. But when you recognize the voice, it's like, this is not God. It's strife and confusion. And how do you know that? You begin envy, self-seeking, confusion, and every evil thing are there. A lot of times, this just gets darker and darker and darker. And you can sense the trajectory of that. And that's not right. What are we talking about? Just discerning the voice of something. When you're listening to an influencer, you should ask yourself, what direction is this taking me? Am I getting steered into a bunch of confusion and every evil thing? Or is it bringing me to a path that's pure and peaceable and gentle? Do you notice that it's full of mercy and good fruits? The wisdom is full of mercy. The wisdom that's from above is full. It sounds like this. Therefore, even as Christ has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also forgive. There's mercy in the wisdom of God. There's a mercy in the wisdom of God that will diffuse the hatred and the anger. Of course, we're human beings. We're emotional creatures. We've got history, and it's a choice. It's faith. But the thing that we got to do is simply recognize, is that you, God? Again, it's a good test. I would recommend it. Say it out loud. You just by yourself, but you say it out loud. Is that you, God? When you're in the middle of it. Because really, once you can answer that question and say, that's not God, you have no moral obligation to it. You are free to let go of it. And so there's a voice detection in that, isn't there? I love the way Colossians puts it. Paul says, let the peace of God rule. That's Lord in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. I like that word, umpire. Umpires are there to help us call safe or out. They're there especially for the close calls. You know, were they safe? Were they out? The umpire is there. That's what the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. Sometimes you can have thoughts that are close, but there's an umpire of peace that will act continually in our hearts. I am so glad you think Jesus is Lord. He is Lord of my life. How is he ruling me? He's ruling me with peace. The peace that passes my understanding is guiding my heart, keeping my heart and mind in Christ. Peace is ruling. So I'm looking and I'm listening for peace. Now, sometimes you come across decisions in your life where there could be door number one, door number two, door number three. And they're all good doors. They're all scriptural doors, all right? And you're going, you know, I don't know which one it is. And I need direction and I need to know the voice of God. Could that be God? Could that be God? And so you're asking yourself, is that you, Lord? I can see, I can make, if I was a lawyer, I could make a case for each one of these. Compelling. So sometimes you're at those crossroads. You can be at the crossroads of strife or peace, but sometimes peace is also going to umpire in those areas where this could be God or this could be God. Legit. So we get a great example in the New Testament, and this is one I use a lot, but I wanted to bring the actual map as I talk about this. The Apostle Paul in his second missionary journey had one of these situations exactly. Now it says, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden. This is the Apostle Paul and his missionary team as they're about in their second missionary journey. All right. And as they're going, they went through Phrygia. And if you kind of look at that map there, that, you know, is that to your right? Yeah, to your right, to my right. That region of Galatia, that kind of that goes vertical right there. His original intention in this whole second missionary journey was to go to this region of Galatia and strengthen those churches. Basically four churches there, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Those four areas. So when you see the book of Galatians, it's written to that region. It's written to a region of churches. Like if there was a book of Door County, it would be from Sturgeon Bay to Gills Rock, the churches in that region. All right, so his whole purpose was, I'm going to go back. In missionary journey number one, he established those churches. Missionary journey number two, you can see he's going to strengthen those churches. He gets done strengthening those churches, and he knows in his heart he's not done. He's got to keep going. So when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, so they went through Galatia, Phrygia, you can see as he kind of gets past that Phrygia, all of a sudden they start to vector north a little bit. Why was that? Because they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So they couldn't keep going in that direction. So they changed directions. Now, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia. You can see that little red arrow. They tried, but the Spirit didn't permit them. Okay? So, passing by Mysia, they came to Troas. You can see that's kind of way over there. They came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And that's the far left over there, Macedonia. That's where we get the Philippian church. To help us, now after we had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So that's what they ended up doing. They ended up going way over to Macedonia. Now, think about this. The Apostle Paul is just walking by faith. You would think the Apostle Paul, called to establish the church and write the Bible at the same time, if anybody was going to have a map of where to go, the Apostle Paul, you would think, would have that map. He didn't have this map. He's just walking by faith. He's just following peace on the inside, in his own heart. And he gets to that region, you know, he gets to Galatia, Phrygia, and then he thinks, man, okay, if I can't go into Asia, then I got to go to Bithynia. He can't go to Bithynia. Think about this. The Apostle Paul, and this is not like he's driving his car, okay, and then he takes a left. This is animals. This is slow-moving stuff. And when you see that little jog up there, you'd think, man, how much time could I have saved if I would have just went straight? And one of the things the Apostle Paul said, one thing I do is forgetting those things that are behind. I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. But what do we see here? We see here a guy who's listening for the voice of God and having a feeling out process. I say that to say this. Sometimes you're not going to just know intuitively this map. Sometimes God is going to give you permission and peace to go in a direction by faith and then guide you. We'd always, when our kids were young at Easter, we'd play the Easter basket game, the hot cold game, where we'd hide it in Easter basket. In this case, the Easter basket was in Macedonia, okay? And as the Apostle Paul was going in that direction from Antioch, it was warm, and he tried to go to Asia, and it was not, you know, they were trying to go down to Asia. Nope, cold, getting cold, Paul, so he goes up a little bit north, and well, warm, getting a little warmer, keeps going north, cold, okay, go south a little bit, and we go east, but you can see he's following peace. He's letting peace rule. He's letting peace act as the umpire. Now, God hasn't called me to start the church and write the Bible. I've got good works he's ordained me to walk in. But if Paul had to do that, then I got to realize I'm going to be doing that too. There is an exercise in discerning the voice of God. And sometimes you're going to sense that working of God. I love a few proverbs that are kind of along this lines too. It says, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. There's a working with the Holy Spirit in this. We don't always get the vision and do the vision. Sometimes you get a general direction and you go a direction and then God will navigate you through that direction. And you don't have to have hindsight condemnation. I like to say it this way. When you look at this, it could look like Paul missed it twice, but then he got it right the third time. He didn't. He got it right all three times. He stopped at the two red lights and he went at the green light. When the peace is gone and you stop, you haven't missed God. The Holy Spirit has not been sent to give you all green lights. The Holy Spirit has been sent to give you red lights and green lights. The red lights are there for our protection. There are decisions that I am so glad that I've made because I had a red light to not go. There are influencers that I had, you know, back in my day, directions that I could have went that were wrong. And there was just something, I didn't even know the Bible as well as some people, and I just knew that God wasn't in that. It's like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There was just not a peace there. There was not a freedom there. Sometimes you can see people that are really spiritual, and they're really heavied out. And they're just heavy. All the time, just heavy. And I just recognized, that's not God. His yoke, it just doesn't, it's not heavy. It's not burned out. You don't understand. I got all this stuff going on, and I got the super call, and I'm just heavied out. Watch that. I understand how it can play. I understand how personally I could get caught up in that. Like I said, I've gotten caught up in some different little things, but you realize that heaviness, is not God, no matter how spiritual somebody's trying to come across. There better be a joy. There better be a peace. You know, I'm not just saying you got to be Guy Smiley 24/7, all right? Nobody's that. You know, that would be a heavy yoke. Do you realize that? It's not that you got to be emotionally up all the time. That would be a heavy yoke too. That's another extreme, okay? But there's peace. I'm not crushed. I'm not crushed under the weight of my huge call. No. And if that's the influencer type spirit, what does he say? Try the spirit. There can be a lot going on there. What happens when you, why would you even do this in the first place? Why would you even venture out to begin to walk? Because something, God's doing something else in you. It is God who works in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. I love that, for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. We should remember that. That's why we're doing what we're doing. But there is something in you. There was something in Paul that wouldn't let him stop at strengthening those churches. There was something that was working in him and energizing him. Although he didn't have the map, he had a peace. And thank God for the Holy Spirit who was leading him and guiding him. Somebody once described, you know, anti-peace or a lack of peace as like trying to wash your feet with your socks on, okay? That would be uncomfortable, unnatural. There's something not right about that. And there's something not right when you get something in your spirit about going in a direction. I'm unsettled. I couldn't even explain to you why. I just know that that's just not God. It's not in that. And so what are we talking about? Pressure or peace? Let that peace rule. Let that peace have authority in your heart. You know, don't let anybody ever pressure you again into having to do something without the ability to check your heart and get peace on it first. I'm kind of bringing this back to some decision stuff. We live in a world of buy it now, pressure, or else. Today or else. Last time. This is your last chance. And again, with people who would have a spiritual call in their life, because this is what this whole thing started out with. The Apostle John, his heart was concerned about these people that were coming in behind and controlling the lives of these believers. False spirit, false prophets have come into the world. Test the spirits. See if they're of God or not. One of the ways that you can test the spirits and know is that there is nobody speaking by the Spirit of God who does not give you the opportunity to let peace rule in your hearts. If they say, you got to believe me because I am who I am, that's unscriptural. The Apostle Paul went to Berea. He preached and he said, these people from Berea, they were more noble. They searched the scriptures to see if what we said was so. He commended them. He wasn't insecure. He said, they searched the scriptures. He knew he was preaching the word of God. When you know you're preaching the word of God, the wisdom that's from above is without partiality. It's willing to yield. When somebody is really preaching, you're willing to yield. You're willing to hear the other side. You're so secure. When it's demonic, you can't hear the other side. Because you're right. There's an insecurity there. But when it's God, when somebody's ministering by the Spirit of God, they welcome to search things out. Is this consistent with the rest of the Word? What I preach on a Sunday morning, welcome. Run your references on peace. Run your references on that. Check it out. I commend that. Anybody who's ministering the Word isn't something from their own agenda. It's the Word of God. Don't let that kind of stuff wigwag you, but be encouraged that God is with you. He's in you, leading and guiding you by the peace. And then the other thing that I just want to get along the lines of, which is kind of along the same lines, is superficial or substance. Again, this is John's heart to those early believers, and Paul's heart too, when he was ministering to the Colossians, he says, let no one judge you in food or drink. Listen to these words.
Let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival, or new moon, or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he's not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head, from whom the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Again, we live a lot of stuff going on in our world, a lot of stuff going on all over. And, you know, just even pastoring a church here in 2025, it's amazing how the things that we deal with are the things that have been dealt with since the very beginning. But hear that language, let no one cheat you of your reward. He's talking about people getting off on stuff, food and drink and diets and observing this day or that day. And that's the real spiritual thing. And if you're really spiritual and if you really love God, you're going to eat this or you're going to drink this. It can get off into some weird controlling stuff that's not centered on Christ. The substance is of Christ. And you can see that people who get off intruding into the things which they've not seen, they're not holding fast the head. You are saved by grace through faith. There's a reason we take communion every month. It knits us to where we've come from. It knits us to Christ. He's the head of the body. Everything that we're doing, everything that we're taking in, we should be asking ourselves that question. How does this connect back to Christ? How does this connect back to God? Again, like I said, I've had situations where, you know, enjoying me and my five friends, you know, the most spiritual people, you know, get away from the harlot church and be a part of our little group that has it all, who has it all right, you'll see a lot of weird stuff and you'll see a lot of heaviness and things going on. There is no church, there is no group that is perfect. We're all growing up in the things of God. We're all growing up spiritually. That's the bottom line. And we're all following after the word and, you know, coming to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ together as true, genuine, born-again believers. It is important to realize that, man, Jesus loves you. His love is there. The fellowship is there. Living a daily walk with him, that is ultimately the heart. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, we don't dare classify ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves by themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. So you had the Apostle Paul, again, like John, he would go into these regions and he would get churches established and then people would come in behind him, all right? He refers to, you know, he would refer to them as super apostles. But here's the deal. These people that would come in behind Paul, apparently, were better speakers than Paul. Might have had even a, you know, a better presentation than Paul. More polished than Paul. He could make them laugh and cry. They could control an audience. They had just super ability to communicate. And this is what Paul really wrote 2 Corinthians to defend his ministry, part of it. He said, for I can imagine that some of you are saying his letters, Paul's letters, are authoritative and stern. But when he's with us, he's not that impressive, and he's a poor speaker. The message, his letters are brawny and potent, but in person he's a weakling, mumbles while he talks. The living, don't bother about his letters, some say. He sounds big, but it's all noise. When he gets here, you will see that there is nothing great about him, and you have never heard a worse preacher. If you're listening, if you're just listening for production quality, and you're listening for talent, and you're listening for gloss, and you're listening for, you know, judging that, and you're judging something as God based on quality and production, you're going to get deceived. You could have speaker A, and he might stumble and be a little fragmented in what he's saying, but what he's saying is in line with the word. And somebody who's really polished and slick, and you know how you feel about this, you know how you feel about that, and oh my goodness, and I see, you can get manipulated and played. We're listening for a voice. We're not listening, you know, I will take plain vanilla truth over sexy heresy any day, right? That's going to lead and guide you off, and this is the stuff that will get you into the self stuff. and me and my and oh. And this is the stuff that will get you on your knees and crying out to God and say, forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. I want to be true to your word. I want to walk in love. I want to do what you want me to do. I'm going to fear the Lord and depart from evil. I'm going to walk in the counsel of the godly, not the really slick talkers. Paul had to deal with this in his day. He was speaking by the Spirit of God. And yet, you got polished people, and I'm just saying this, influencers. You got to consider your own influencers. They may be better speakers. They may be able to say things in a certain way, but check the spirit of something. Where is it directing? Is it just superficial fluff that's getting you in your head and emotionally? Or is it something that's putting into your spirit? I remember Brother Hagin would say at Rhema all the time, just as far as checking your spirit. He'd say, when you're taking something in, just check. Is it putting something into you? Or is it like taking something out of you? You can just kind of check that. Just do a little heart check. How is this affecting me? Is that you, God? Is that you, God? Where does it line up with the Word of God? And take some time to make sure. Check the spirit of it. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That's the thing that also we got to keep in mind, too. When you're listening to a preacher or a minister, anybody speaking or declaring the word of God, does it direct your heart to him? Or does it direct your heart to them? Do I need them? You know, is it cultivating a dependency on a person? Or is it putting your heart upward toward God? Now, thank God he gives us pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, ministers, just for the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So we can feel a sense of connection to a certain ministry gift and be fed and equipped. But a true godly ministry gift is going to be directing your attention to God and to Jesus and to the plan he has for your life. He will glorify me. He won't glorify the preacher. He'll glorify me. Trying the spirit of something and just seeing where is the glory going? Where is that heart? Where is the purpose of this? Is there a sweet, loving surrender to the glory of Jesus in what's coming through this? You know, where is my heart being directed toward? And again, you're just trying the spirit of something. Or you're checking the voice of something. Because there can be, a lot of slick people, talkers, different things like that. Just make sure what's happening is causing you to fall deeper in love with Jesus. It's causing you to just want more of Jesus. More and desire about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. He is the head of the church. Like we were saying in worship this morning, Jesus, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. There's a Christ-centeredness about something. That's what gives it substance. That's what the Apostle Paul said. You get people that are getting off the substance and the worship of angels and intruding into things and getting all that stuff. And it's like it's getting off on stuff and it's not keeping the main thing the main thing. That's the main, you know, keeping Christ centered, keeping that, because that's where your life is, that's where your joy is, that's where your peace is, that's where everything is. It's about bringing glory to Jesus Christ. And then Paul puts it this way, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. There's a witness of the Spirit in you that witnesses that you're a child of God. We call this the assurance of salvation. Of course, the world or people who don't understand would think, well, that's just arrogant. You can't have an assurance of salvation. You can't know you're saved. You can't know that. You can actually, technically. The Spirit himself inside you bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. That's what we, again, call the assurance of salvation. It's the Holy Spirit saying, child of God. He's not bearing witness that you're perfect. He's not bearing witness that you don't need to grow. He's just bearing witness that you're a child of God, that you're in the family of God, that God is your Father. He's witnessing, and you know that you got that witness. And that's what he witnesses not only that you're a child of God, but that's the same Spirit that will witness to things that are true, things that are true in the Word of God. And that's the substance that we want. And finally, the Scripture says, now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. You know, we're living in a time where, you know, we see a lot of stuff going on in our world, a lot of chaos going on in our world, and we just kind of think that, you know, people should just know what we know. There's a reason why you know what you know. Not because you're that smart. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have no idea how much you know what you know because of the influencer of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. If you were to take the influencer of the Holy Spirit out of you, you wouldn't be sure about a lot of things you're sure about right now. That's humbling. Yes, I've been transformed by the renewing of my mind through the years to have it register for my mind to catch up with what's happened already in my heart by the Holy Spirit. But I know what I know because I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I love this because I'll tell you what, God will witness to things that are in your heart, and you know things just by the Spirit. That's why he gave us the Spirit, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Jesus once put it this way. He said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When you first hear a word, again, you can get a witness that it's true. How do I know it's true? Not because I'm so smart. Because the Holy Spirit on the inside witnesses, that peace witness, truth. Truth, that's true. You know, sometimes we'd play a, you know, kind of a nighttime with our kids, you know, we'd say, to test the voices, we'd say, you know, something, you know, as we're getting them ready to go to sleep, we'd say, now, I just want you guys to just let me know what's true, what isn't true. Mommy and Daddy love you. True. Mommy and Daddy don't love our dog, Sammy. False. You know, Mommy and Daddy don't love, false. It would just be like, no, no. We'd say something true, you know, we care about you. True, yes, true. There's just a witness of truth that you have because of their connection with Mom and Dad. They would just know that. The Holy Ghost has that connection. True, not true. True, not true. Where you can just know, and again, you may not even have all the theological understanding to debate it and explain why it's true. You just know that something is true, not true. When you get a word, you get a witness that it's true. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. You get a witness that something's true. I can get a witness that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. I can get a witness that God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I get a witness that's true. Or I get a witness that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's cool. That's true. I believe that it's true. But as you continue in that word, it doesn't just stay it as a witness that it's true. You begin to get revelation that it's true. You begin to see that it's true. Sometime over time, you begin to see that it's true. And at some time, you begin to grow and you begin to make decisions that it's true. You mature in a truth where it goes from just a witness to truth to a revelation to where you can see it. You know, in Lambeau Field, they have the statues, I think, of Lombardi and... is it Favre or who else? Lambeau. Or Curly Lambeau. Okay, Curly Lambeau. And so there was a time when they had an unveiling. You got the drop cloths on them, and you can kind of see the form of something, but when you take the drop cloth off, that's what literally reveal means. It means to unveil. You take the drop cloth off, and you see clearly. When you get a witness of truth, the drop cloth can still be on. I know it's true. I know it's there. I just can't see it. I just know that it's true. But when you stay with the Word of God and you stay with the Word of God in the area, you begin to see that it's true. You begin to get revelation on something. I remember that new creation. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, cool. That sounds good. That makes me feel good about myself. Good for about 5 minutes, all right? And it wears off and you forget about it. But when you stay in that truth and you allow that truth to maintain in every context of your life, you know, you might be going through something and you think, yeah, but the Holy Spirit's still in me and I'm still a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm still a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm still that person on the inside in my spirit. I haven't changed. I may have made some mistakes. I may feel bad. Who I am on the inside is still a new creation to go back to who I am in Christ. And I remember just hearing a tape series along those lines and just going back and going, it was for me, it was like 6 months going back and going back. And, you know, it was one time I failed and I just said, ah, that's just who I am. And the Spirit of God spoke up to me and said, that's not who you are. He said, this is who you are. And I just got a glimpse of the new creation. It was like a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I could see myself. I could see myself on the inside, the glory of the new creation. He said, that thing came at you from the outside. This is who you are. And I saw it. I knew it technically, theologically over here. But it was months and months later, as I continued in the Word, that you know that truth and that truth makes you free. Because then you see something. And it's harder to fool you when you see something. You see something that marks your spirit. But what does it start with? It's the voice that I know that it's true. I know that it's the Word. I'm grounded in Christ. I'm not trying to be pop spiritual culture on every little thing. I want to just grow in the Word, and I want to be led by the Spirit of God. So what are we talking about? Is that you, God? There's different inflection points that we come at. There's pressure and peace. You know, if it's that demonic wisdom, no matter how compelling it is, it gets us in that little self loop and self cycle. Man, you can praise the Lord at any time and break out of that cycle. You don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise the Lord. That's humbling because there's a part of you that feels like you have to, but you don't have to. You can at any time praise the Lord. You can bless the Lord at all times. You can pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Rejoice always, Paul said. And again I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. Always. Something about an always-ness of rejoicing and worship and praising God to relieve that pressure and bring you to a place of peace. Because the scripture says to be spiritually minded just is life and peace. It'll get you directed in that place where peace is. And then superficial or substance, you know, just make sure you don't get played. I mean, I think I shared a few weeks ago how, you know, when it came to my end time theology, you know, I decided that I was going to be post-trib because I didn't want to be those wimps that were trying to wait for the rapture before escaping in the rapture before the tribulation. I was a tough guy. I was going to tough it out. Okay, that's just not a good basis to establish theology on, okay? And whatever your position is, I'm not here to, you know, I'm pre-trib as I've continued to study things out. But that was kind of my basis. And it's just not, you've got to, what voice am I listening to? Am I listening to the voice of my own spiritual ego, or am I really listening to the voice of the Spirit of God in some things? So I just want to encourage you this morning, kind of like I'm sure John or Paul was encouraging their believers back then, don't get caught up in the stuff. You have the ability to just be led by peace, and you got the freedom to go in a direction and be changed in that direction. And when you're changed, you go, oh, I thought that was God, but that wasn't God. You're just like the Apostle Paul, establishing the church and his missionary journeys. Nothing shameful, nothing wrong with that. You are free to go in a direction and let peace rule or forbid you or to go any further. That's part of being led by the Spirit of God. That's freeing, you know? And so realize that's real life. And then superficial or substance. Don't let people play on your ego. Like Paul was saying, you know, diets and days and doing all this stuff. And look at this vision. If you were really God, then you'd follow after this. You have the ability to check things out for yourself, okay? You don't have to run after everything. You can take some time and make sure you got peace and that you're settled in something before you go in a certain direction. So, Lord, we just thank you this morning that we can follow after you, that we can check our heart and just be led by your Spirit. Father, I just pray for each one here this morning that you just guide us, lead us by your Spirit. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, you are my Lord. I'm going to let peace rule. I'm going to choose you, Jesus. I know your voice. Your voice is pure and peaceable. It's full of mercy. There's substance in your voice. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It needs to be true according to your word, because it's your truth, your word that makes me free. I follow you, Jesus. You go before me. I follow after you. You are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, sometimes after the message, I do that little confession of faith, just kind of a wrap-up thing where what are we doing? We're just reiterating. And I always say if your heart can agree, it's never a forced thing. But if your heart can agree with those words it just reinforces these things that are true in the Word of God and in you. And just be encouraged this morning. You have the Holy Spirit in you. That peace is in there to lead and to guide you, to protect you, and to show you where to go. Amen. Praise God.